Distinguished delegates, can we start the meeting? Good morning to all of you. Before we continue with our agenda items, I'd like to give the floor to the Secretariat for some housekeeping announcement.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I have to draw your attention to the fact that you have today the last chance to review the list of participants and correct any wrong information or delete any delegates who could not join us this week due to various reasons. And the semi-final version of the list of participants that you can take back home will be available on Saturday morning together with the draft report to be adopted. Secondly, I'd like to remind all delegations that the nomination period for the members of the executive committee elected on a geographic basis is still open until noon sharp. It is not half past noon, but noon sharp. And this anticipation of the election timetable has been agreed upon yesterday. So the nomination will close at noon sharp. There are several side events that would take place tomorrow. First, there will be an information seminar on searching codex-related information on the internet. This seminar includes a presentation on screen and demonstration of how you can download codex documents, how you can find a specific codex standard on the internet, how to use the FAO's international portal on food safety, animal and plant health, how to search regulatory information using this portal internet site, as well as how to use general standard for food additives and its online version. So this seminar is expected to be very useful in boosting the performance of Codex contact points of all member states and member organizations, so that they can more effectively contribute in the Codex process, as well as providing information regarding Codex to any national entities interested in Codex work. It's taking place in Austria Room tomorrow morning, starting at 9:30. Austria Room is located on the second floor at the very end, seen from this side, of the second floor of Building C. It's an amphitheater type of room. There are some 100 seats available. So I think if delegations can, any persons from the delegations will be welcome to participate. But this is not a mandatory event. It's an information seminar to those who are interested. Again, tomorrow morning, starting at 9:30, there will be workshop for Codex chairpersons. This event is only for Codex chairpersons or their alternates, which they have already nominated and notified to the Codex Secretariat. So there will be a whole day workshop for Codex chairpersons starting tomorrow at 9:30 in India Room. In India Room. India Room is located on the third floor, the same floor of this building. A, building A. Tomorrow in the afternoon, there will be three successive side events, starting with an informal meeting on the FAO-WHO project and fund for enhanced participation in Codex. All members, regardless of their status, donors or prospective donors or recipient countries of the Codex Trust Fund, are invited to take part in this event, which is taking place in this plenary hall. The interpretation will be provided in English, Spanish, Arabic, and French, but unfortunately not in Chinese. I failed to mention that the item I mentioned previously, the seminar on searching codex-related information, will take place with simultaneous interpretations. Presentation will be made in English, but simultaneous interpretation will be available. The second event tomorrow afternoon will be the informal meeting on the proposed third global forum for food safety regulators, which will immediately follow the informal meeting on the Codex Trust Fund. Again, it is open to all Codex members and observers who are interested in participating in this event. And in this regard, I announced yesterday that the results of the survey on the proposed third global forum is available from the document desk, and it provides some useful information when you discuss matters in this informal meeting. And finally, the informal meeting on the provision of scientific advice and its sustainable funding by FAO and WHO will take place subsequent to these two other informal meetings in the same place, plenary hall, starting approximately 4:45 tomorrow afternoon. And I understand that there will be a more detailed explanation of the new initiative for strengthening the funding of the scientific activities carried out by FAO and WHO. Madam Chair, at this stage, we do not know yet whether the delegates, and especially the head of delegations, will have a free day tomorrow, or we continue to do our business tomorrow morning. All depends on the progress you are making today. I think this is all I wanted to announce. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for those announcements. I'd just like to inform you that the Director General of the OIE, Dr. Valle, can be with us only until 3 o'clock this afternoon. He has to leave. So irrespective of where we are in the agenda item, I would propose that we will take agenda item 14 in the afternoon, in the early afternoon, the relations between Codex Alimentarius and other international organizations. So with that, we will move on to the agenda item. We are now on matters arising from the Codex Committee on Sugars, the Codex Standard for Sugars, consideration of the methods for determination of sugar in plantation and milk white sugar. Secretary, please introduce this item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is the third item on document. Alinom 07/30/9D. The 24th session of the Commission adopted the change to the method for determination of color in plantation or mill white sugar in the Codex Standards for Sugars. The Commission requested the Codex Committee on Sugars to examine whether a change of method of analysis for determination of color may additionally require a change in the specification of color for plantation or mill white sugars. This question remained pending since then because, and among others, other reasons, the International Commission for Uniform Methods of Sugar Analysis was examining the methodology of color determination and appropriateness of different testing methods. This review by the National Commission for Uniform Methods of Sugar Analysis was completed, and it was recommended that a method which is different from the one included in the standard was issued by this commission, and it is up to us to determine whether this new method would be more for use within the Codex. So this is the background of the issue. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. I'd like to open to the floor for any comments on this item. Brazil, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On this issue, Brazil would first like to reiterate the comments that we presented in LIM 13, starting on page 3. In a nutshell, Madam Chair, Brazil reiterates its concern regarding removal of method GS2/3-9. We would like to recall that there was no unanimity on the recommendation of the ICUMSA for the determination of color in plantation or mill white sugar. Madam Chair, we also would like to recall that the procedural manual of the Commission recommends preference to methods that apply uniformly to various commodities over methods that apply to individual commodities. In our extensive comments, we recommended, we demanded, we to the new method. So we proposed the maintenance of the method that I just quoted, the GS2/3-9, for a period of time. And our recommendation now would be to send this very important method issue to the Codex Committee on Methods and Analysis and Sampling. That is the way that we believe that the Commission should proceed on this method. So we would also leave this /9 method under, and still under consideration. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Brazil, for that observation. Are there any further comments from the floor? EC, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The European Community, in its written comments, has voiced support for method GS9/1/2/3. And we remain faithful to that particular comment and recommendation. However, we also believe there are strong grounds, environmental and efficacy grounds, to give continued consideration to a further method, namely GS2/3-10. And we think it's important that the committee in its future work also makes provision for this method. Thank you.
Thank you, EC, for the observation. Egypt, you have the floor, sir.
شكرا سيدة الرئيسة. مثل ترى أنه في حالة اللجوء إلى إقرار أسلوب واحد في مواصفة الدستور الغذائي للسكريات، عندئذ ينبغي تطبيق الأسلوب GS9 1238 for the year 2005 لتحديد لون جميع السكريات التي شملتها المواصفة، بما في ذلك السكر الأبيض المصنع والنباتي والخام. فلا حاجة إذن إلى إجراء أي تغيير في مواصفة اللون الخاصة بالسكر الأبيض المصنع والنباتي. شكرا سيدة الرئيس.
Thank you, Egypt, for the observation. Are there any members wishing to take the floor? If there are none, I would like to propose to the Commission to refer the recommendation of the Codex Committee on Sugars, which is the adoption of the method GS9/1/2/3 as the new method, and if possible, the current method GS2/3-10/2005 as an alternative method for certain classes of sugars, together with the written comments from Brazil, as in LIM 13, to the Codex Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling of CCMS for discussion and endorsement, with a view to adoption by the 31st session of the Commission in 2008. Is there any objection to this proposal?
No.
No? This proposal is approved by the Commission. Thank you. The next item is matters arising from the 28th session of the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses, WHO-FAO Global Strategy on Diet, Physical Activity and Health. I would like to invite Ms. Okay, I'd like to invite the Secretary to introduce the item first.
Thank you much, Madam Chair. I will make an introduction of the matter, which is now getting a bit complex, and possibly, if you so wish, you could invite the representatives of FAO and WHO to provide complementary information. The
Next item is the action being taken by the Codex Alimentarius Commission on the WHO Global Strategy on Diet, Physical Activity and Health. The WHO Global Strategy referred to was adopted in the World Health Assembly in 2004, and in the same resolution there has been a recommendation that the Codex Alimentarius Commission being invited to consider what actions the Commission could take in support of the implementation of the global strategy, which of course is being implemented by member countries as well. The 28th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, which took note of the resolution and the global strategy included in it, requested the World Health Organization and FAO to prepare a document that is more focused on actions that could be taken by Codex to facilitate the implementation of the global strategy. The paper was discussed, the paper from WHO was discussed at the 28th session of the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses and 33rd session of the Codex Committee on Food Labeling. But these committees did not have time, and also for WHO to have enough time to engage in the dialogue that are action oriented. Against this background, the matter was discussed again at the last session of the Commission, which again called for a more detailed paper that would include concrete proposals which could be taken on board by two Codex committees, one on the nutrition and the other on food labeling, for their consideration. Subsequently, the two committees that met afterwards considered the WHO's concrete proposals that were that had been prepared in cooperation of FAO and issued as part of a circular letter, together with the government comments received in reply to the questions and proposals contained in the circular letter that embodied the WHO and FAO proposals. The reply, or rather the outcome of the discussion in the Nutrition Committee, is contained in the working document 9D and in its paragraphs 15 through 18. The discussion and the outcome of the last session of the Committee on Food Labeling is found in the other document, which is
document 9D, addendum 1, in paragraphs 19 through 21. To complement the information already provided from these two committees and how these two committees saw the chance or the scope for the actions that could be taken by these committees within their respective mandates to facilitate the implementation of the WHO global strategy. WHO, in cooperation with FAO, submitted a information document, which is CAC/30, INF/13, which more or less contain the same factual description of the events that happened since the last session of the Commission. Madam Chair, I will not go into the details of what these two committees found and what these committees are doing, and probably after the comments from the delegations, the chairs from this committee can also confirm the state of art in the framework of these two committees. And this is my brief, not so brief introduction. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Now I'd like to invite Ms. Shizuru Nishida from WHO to present briefly the paper CAC/30, INS/13 on this matter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As described and explained in details by the Secretary, the document CAC/30, INF/13 describes very briefly the process taken in developing proposed action plans for consideration by the concerned Codex committees, such as CCNFSDU and CCFL, guided by the 28th and 29th sessions of the Commission. We are very grateful to member states and the CCNFSDU and CCFL for carefully reviewing and considering the various proposed actions related to the implementation of the Global Strategy on Diet, Physical Activity and Health adopted by the World Health Assembly, including nutrition labeling, certain nutrition claims, quantitative declaration of ingredients, modification of standardized foods and production and processing standards regarding nutritional quality and safety of foods. WHO and FAO plan to continue to strengthen our interaction with CCNFSDU and CCFL and make every effort to ensure that these committees are aware of the scientific advice being produced by FAO and WHO, and of any plans for relevant scientific work which may affect the implementation of the global strategies. These include the forthcoming scientific work and consultation possibly on fats and oils in human nutrition. We look forward to receiving continued support from the Commission for the implementation of the global strategy. We very much look forward to receiving the guidance from the Commission. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO, for the brief intervention. Now I would like to call upon the Chair of the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Food for Special Dietary Uses, Professor Rolf Gross-Gloss, to report on the highlights of the discussion of your committee on this matter. You have the floor, sir.
Why is it? You can hear. I don't know.
Thank you, Madam Chair. May I first point out that there is no doubt that the WHA Global Strategy on Diet, Physical Activity and Health is a very significant development to tackle obesity and other food-related diseases. So I may give you a quick overview what happened in our committee. It had first concentrated its discussion on the recommendation put forward in Section B of the Circular Letter 2006/44 from the Commission. First, the committee considered the recommendation on nutrient labeling, developed nutrient reference values for nutrients that are associated with both increased and decreased risk of non-communicable diseases. The committee agreed to proceed with the consideration of the revision of the nutrient reference values for vitamins and minerals and asked the Committee on Food Labeling its advice concerning the revision and extension of the list of nutrient reference values in the guidelines for nutrition labeling to other nutrients associated with increased and decreased risk of chronic diseases. The committee agreed that if this reply was positive, it would consider new work on the revision and extension of the list to relevant nutrients in its next session. Regarding the fatty acids, the committee concluded that there was no support to initiate work for the claims and for trans fatty acids and include restriction on both saturated and trans fatty acids. The third point was that the committee has also some discussion on the inclusion of provisions on nutritional quality in food standards and other texts at the next sessions of the committee based on a document which would provide more explanation on the development of such guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Grossglass. Next, I would like to invite the chair from the Codex Committee on Food Labeling, Dr. Anne McKenzie from Canada, to report on the highlights of the discussion from your committee on this matter. You have the floor, madam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am very pleased to summarize for members of the Commission through you, Madam Chair, the conclusions of the discussions that were held at the 31st session of the CCFL, which concluded their meetings in Ottawa, Canada, in May of this year, on the draft action plan for the implementation of the Global Strategy on Diet, Physical Activity, and Health. May I say, Madam Chair, that there was extensive discussion, which I believe is reflected very well in paragraphs 20 to 64 of the report of the committee. And I think it should be noted that 44 paragraphs of the report were in fact devoted to detailing the discussion. The committee reflected very carefully on the recommendations that were contained in the report, and in regards to the suggestion to amend the purpose of the guidelines to include a reference to providing the consumer with information to reduce risk factors for NCDs, etc., the committee agreed that there was not sufficient support to amend the current text of the purpose of the guidelines, but the committee noted that this issue could be reconsidered if needed. In regards to the recommendation to expand the list of nutrients that are always declared to include the energy value and the amounts of protein available carbohydrates, sugars, fat, saturated fat, trans fatty acids, and sodium. The committee did not come to a consensus on the revision of the current list of nutrients that should always be declared. And clearly it was concluded that this required further discussion. Further, Madam Chair, in regards to the recommendation to develop additional criteria for the presentation of the nutrient description to enhance legibility, the committee recognized that further consideration could be given to the development of criteria for the presentations. In regards to the recommendation on developing nutrient reference values for nutrients that are associated with both increased and decreased risks of communicable diseases, the committee agreed in this instance with the proposal of our sister committee, the Nutrition Committee, to revise the list of vitamins and minerals, but did not as yet reach a conclusion on the extension of the list to, to other nutrients. And finally, in consideration of the conditions for nutrient content claims for both trans fatty acids and including restrictions on both saturated and trans fatty acids in the conditions for both nutrient content claims and comparative claims for saturated fatty acids and trans fatty acids, this was considered further under other agenda items that the committee was deliberating on. So, Madam Chair, in conclusion, we followed the good protocols that have been set within the Codex family of committees and suggested the establishment of a working group. And the working group is mandated to evaluate which revisions will be needed to the Codex guidelines on nutrition labeling and the Codex general standard for the labeling of prepackaged foods in light of certain of the action items that have been proposed. And to facilitate this work, the delegations of Canada and Argentina will prepare a background paper based on written submissions and comments, and then will present these, the conclusions of the working group, to full committee at its next session in Ottawa in May of next year. So, Madam Chair, that's a rather succinct summary of the debate and the conclusions reached by the committee. And, of course, it goes without saying, Madam Chair, that the importance of a very, very close, sustained, and rapid collaboration with our sister committee is of the utmost importance. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dr. N. McKenzie, for the short brief. I would like to draw the attention of the Commission that on Agenda Item 11 on the Strategic Planning of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, which has been adopted, with respect to Activity 1.3 related to food labeling and nutrition, a reference was made to this WHO Global Strategy on Diet, Physical Activity and Health. And as the chair of the Codex Committee on Food Labeling has mentioned, there was extensive debate at the last Codex Committee on Food Labeling. I do not see any real benefits in discussing this issue at this point in time, as I note that the delegates would have the opportunity to fully participate in the physical working group, which will be held prior to the 36th session of the Codex Committee on Food Labeling, and the committee itself would also discuss this matter further. And in this light, I would like to propose to the Commission, firstly, that the Commission notes the decision of the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses and the Codex Committee on Food Labeling on this matter. And secondly, the Commission postponed discussion on this matter until so that we will have the benefit of the outcome of the deliberations of the Codex Committee on food labeling. I wish to seek the agreement of the Commission on this proposal. And I'd like to open to the floor if there are any comments on this proposal that I put forward. Sorry, FAO, you wish the floor first?
Thank you much, Madam Chair. Briefly, I just want to know that I want just to let you know that I'm fully support, of course, your conclusion. But I would like to state at this stage that FAO notes with satisfaction the discussions that have been held at CCFL and CCNFDU on ways and means of applying the global strategy. But also would like to encourage relevant Codex committees, not only these two committees, but possibly other committees, to further consider possibilities of translating the global strategy into practical recommendations and guidance to enhance nutritional and health and the health status of population in different parts of the world, and particularly for those population groups that are at risk. We believe that the application of the global strategy will benefit the population groups that are at risk, both from undernutrition and also overnutrition. And we also believe that Codex could contribute to this effort. Of course, Codex is not the only body that has possibilities of influencing the application of this global strategy. There are other bodies. National governments have the major responsibility for this, but I think we believe, at least in FAO, that together with WHO, we would encourage the Commission and the relevant Codex committees to further explore possibilities of applying and implementing the global strategy. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, FAO, for that intervention. Can I open to the floor for comments? I note there are no flags up. Silence means consent. So the Commission accepts the proposal that I have put forward. With that, thank you. Next item, matters arising from the 28th session of the Codex Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, reference to IUPAC, ISO AOAC protocols. Secretariat, can you please introduce this item?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The reference is paragraphs 19 through 21 of the first working document, document 9D. And this is a matter referred to the Commission from the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling. The 29th session of the Commission last year considered the update of the reference to the International Harmonized Protocol for the Proficiency Testing of Analytical Laboratories, noted that the Food Control Laboratory Management Recommendations, which is in itself the Codex Guidelines number 28, mention this protocol together with two other texts
adopted by reference in 1997. But for these two references, there were no specific codex guidelines, codes assigned to. And the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling was requested to clarify whether these two texts should be identified separately or as a single reference. In reply to this question, the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling said that for the purpose of ease of reference, it would be better to identify all three texts separately and assign them a codex guideline code, so three different codes. Therefore, the Commission is hereby invited to endorse this request or proposal from the Committee on Methods of Analysis, and if the Commission so agrees, new numbers or new codex guideline codes would be assigned to the two additional texts. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary, for the introduction. The Commission now is invited to endorse the proposal of the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling to identify the three texts as three separate guidelines to facilitate referencing of each text separately. Is there any objection to this proposal? Seeing none, this proposal is endorsed by the Commission. Thank you. Next is part two on matters for information to the Commission. Secretary, can you please inform the Commission of all items in this part two?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you just mentioned, the information contained in part two of the main document is either for information only or for consideration at a later stage, and namely under agenda item 14. So probably the Commission may wish not to discuss these items unless there is a point of clarification or any particular comments. The first item is the cooperation between the Codex system and the World Organization for Animal Health, but this matter will better be handled under the item 14, which will be the next agenda item. And the next point is the information from Codex Committee on Food Hygiene and the status of work of the consideration of risk-based standards, which was very briefly referred to during the discussion yesterday. And finally, the internal management mechanism and procedure for prioritizations being now put in place within the Committee on Food Hygiene. And the last item is from Codex Committee on Fats and Oils. This is basically the report of the progress of work on the linolenic acid level for the standard for olive oils and olive pomace oils by this committee, and the Commission could take note of the action taken by this committee and encourage this committee to proceed with this work and solve the issue of the level of linolenic acid in the future in its next by its next session. So these are basically the items for information. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary, for that introduction. So the Secretary did mention on the issue of linoleic acid in olive oils. Possibly the Commission could take note of this action to proceed to work on the inclusion of linoleic acid in the standards for olive oils and olive pomace oil following its decision at the 29th session, and encourage the next Committee on Fats and Oils to address this issue. With that, I'd like to leave this document and move on to the next document. Thank you. So the next document is Alinom 07/30/9D, Addendum 1. Part 1, Matters for Action by the Commission. We have already addressed the revision of the WHO guidelines for drinking water quality yesterday. And next, we look at matters arising from the first session of the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food, amendments to Schedule 1 of the General Standard for Contaminants and Toxins in Food. Secretary, please introduce this item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We are now in the exercise of cleaning up the General Standard for Contaminants and Toxins in Foods, and some cleaning up work is always useful when you are moving your house, for instance. And in terms of contaminants, we are now putting everything from the individually set contaminant standards to a unique point of reference, which is the General Standard for Contaminants and Toxins in Foods. In putting in order the Schedule 1 of the General Standard, the Codex Committee, the first session of the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Foods, agreed to recommend that the Commission deletes references to CS 248/2005, because it is now part of the General Standard itself, other than a separate standard, and within the Schedule 1 apply a uniform format by referring to the adoption year, which is 2005, and also reorganize the presentation of Schedule 1 of the General Standard following four categories, which are metals, mycotoxins, other chemicals, and finally radionuclides. Therefore, the Commission is being requested to give an approval to this proposal from the Committee on Contaminants. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary, for the introduction. You may recall that in Agenda Item 7, the Commission had earlier revoked Codex Standards 248/2005, which is the maximum limits for cadmium. And consistent with this decision taken, I now invite the Commission to adopt the amendments proposed by the Committee on Contaminants in Food to Schedule 1 of the Codex General Standard for Contaminants and Toxins in Food, which is the deletion of reference to CS 248/2005 and their replacement by the adoption year 2005. In addition, I would like to invite the Commission to adopt the amendments proposed by that committee to Schedule 1 on reorganization of contaminants into the following four categories, which are metals, mycotoxins, other chemicals, and radionuclides. Is there any objection to adoption of these amendments? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted by the Commission. Thank you. Next, matters arising from the 24th session of the Codex Committee on General Principles, or CCGP. There are two items coming from this committee. The first item is proposed draft Code of Ethics for International Trade in Food. Secretary, please introduce this item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I too do believe that it is better to handle two issues from the same committee separately, and you have very wisely taken this decision. The first item is the proposed draft code of ethics, and I would decide not to recall any history of this matter because it's so long. And I would not keep you from going for lunch because of my long presentation. Just to mention that in view of the significant challenge to find a solution on the ongoing revision work of the Code of Ethics for International Trade in Food, which was specifically entrusted to the Committee on General Principles. The General Principles Committee requested the Codex Committee on Food Import and Export Inspection and Certification Systems, CCFIX, to look at the possibilities or indeed if there are anything that can be done to address at least part of the concerns raised during the revision work of the Code of Ethics by eventually expanding the scope of some of the existing Codex Alimentarius documents that had been worked through the CCFIX, and CCFIX had spent 2 years to reply to this question, or rather two sessions, to come up with a reply to the CCGP, and the CCFIX felt that the text already in place provide certain elements that address the issue raised, but at the same time that the Commission, by the CCFIX, recommended that the Commission formally adopts certain positions, therefore not as part of the Codex Alimentarius, but adopts a decision of the Commission, several statements. There are three statements. Point A, Codex should encourage member countries to further implement the provisions in existing CCFIX texts, in existing Codex Alimentarius texts developed through the CCFIX related to the matter of subsequent export of food, whether imported or produced domestically, that have been found to be unsafe or unsuitable for human consumption. So this is the first point. The second point is that Codex, the Commission should encourage FAO
WHO and other international organizations to give priority to providing technical assistance to member countries with insufficient capacity for establishing and implementing food import and export control systems. So, a word of encouragement. And thirdly, the Commission should encourage those member countries with insufficient control systems to give priority in their capacity building and technical assistance needs assessments to the issue of import control systems. So these are three recommendations or proposals for the Commission to adopt. And these three points were reviewed at the last session of the Codex Committee on General Principles, and they also agreed that those three points can be considered by the Commission for endorsement. So if the Commission endorses these three bullet points, they will appear in the report of the current session. So this is without prejudice to the ongoing work of the revision of the Code of Ethics within CCGP. This is sort of a spin-off activities. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary, for the introduction. The Commission is now invited to endorse these recommendations from the Codex Committee on Food Import and Export Inspection and Certification Systems, or CCFICS. Is there any objection to these recommendations?